This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go, okay? Let's go. This is, of all days, this is the day to really just, I mean, don't save it for tomorrow. Let it out. And this is what struck me, Dibs, and glad you're with us, and just know that the invitation is absolutely already been sent, okay? 888-957-9570. The Niners season is over for all intents and purposes. Steve Kerr is going to join us at 5 o'clock. What a perfect thing to do because, ladies and gentlemen, Warriors season is here in full effect. But this is what struck me, and I wonder how we could, you and I, can kind of compare and contrast this. Because we did the show together, and then off we all head through the parking lot of Levi's Stadium. You went to the press box.
Yep.
I ended up in some seats, and therefore that made you drier than me. But what struck me is the vibe of this fan base right now. It really struck me. I have now been in the stands twice this year and listened to Brandon Ayuk get sort of kind of booed and listened last night to Deebo Samuel sort of kind of get booed. And I also listened to Kyle Shanahan essentially get heckled for the entire night after every single play call.
By one guy behind you.
No, it was multiple. There was one who was excessive.
Okay.
And sir, if you're listening, you're not that funny. It's not that funny to cuss on every single sentence at the top of your lungs. I'm not a prude. My kids weren't there. It's fine. You're not that funny. Anyway, he probably should have been on What's Bugging You. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. Kyle Shanahan is getting heckled on the regular, and on a night when the 49ers score 6 points, I completely get it. I totally get it. I think we need to be open to all comments and all thoughts and everything on a day like today. But I really would love if we can collectively take the temperature of this fan base, because I am struck by where we find ourselves. This is a very angry place right now. This is a very, and that's, for me, That's the only way that I can put it into words. I am so bummed. I don't get angry at sports teams. That's not the word I would use. If you do, that's great. That's fine. But I'm just so bummed. Because this experience, I had sort of at least marked down with ballpoint ink that that something was gonna something fun, something special, potentially was on the schedule this year.
Yeah, and something fun has happened, but not when you've needed it to happen. And you look at the last five games, and they've lost four of those games. And you could look at every game individually. Seattle, well, Geno Smith drove down and beat you. Well, that's not supposed to happen. In Green Bay, you had a backup quarterback, fine. You go to Buffalo, and it's a blizzard. Okay, it was a scheduled loss anyway. They were coming off a bye. You beat Chicago, big whoop. And then you come out, and you play the Rams, and you get Greenlaw back, and you get Bosa back, and your defense is pretty damn nasty for the majority of the game. And I know that the Rams did have a couple of long drives in the second half, and the defense was kind of worn down, and Dre Greenlaw wasn't there, and Devondre Campbell had decided he didn't want to play football anymore, and you had Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, who was already injured, and he had to go out there and play. And so, yeah, the defense stood up. The defense was great almost all night long.
Sure.
And yet you scored 6 points. And you talk about the fans, and the one thing that struck me even before Debo got booed is when that game kicked off, it was about 65% full. And I don't know where your seats were, but I was up in the press box and looking across at the sunny side, mm-hmm. which turned out to be the rainy side by the second quarter. And the majority of that upper deck was kind of empty, which told me that a lot of fans were either turned off by the weather or turned off by the fact that this team is 6-7. So
probably a lot of both.
Even though fans were the ones who did show up, and shout out the faithful who were there and they stayed till the end, those fans who showed up, and you have every right to boo whoever you want to boo. You're a paying customer. I get that. But what I saw from the crowd was general disinterest even going in.
Well,
the crowd, the thing was not even close to sold out.
Yeah, it's hard for me to put a finger on that, because I'll give you this example. The United Club last night.
Oh, look at you.
Chest to chest.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time. So
a lot of people who were out in the crowd,
yes,
they chose to be in the club.
They chose to
and
be inside
that.
Because it was raining. And
it
you
rained
know,
for about a quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it was light rain in the first quarter. The second quarter was
it was
pretty intense. And I don't mean intense other than like
if you're rain just, hard.
Yeah, if you're a sitting duck, if you're just in a chair sitting in it, it was incredibly wet. And so I do think that a lot of fans made that choice, and that's fine. I get that. I'll also say that even inside some of those clubs and underneath overhangs, it was not like the group was intensely screaming at television sets, totally locked into the game. They might have been much more locked in on, big Bud Light or whatever else they may have had in their right or left hand. You know what I mean? You're not wrong with what you're saying. So I don't know where everybody's belief was. And sure, they were already in a bad spot before this game started. But I remember the last thing I said to you before we left for the game last night. I'm so excited to see what this feels like if they can win tonight and really put together a late season charge. And for Kyle Shanahan, who's got a reputation of late season runs, sparkly November and December record, for him to come out there last night and have this be the product where we all thought season on the brink, and what the fans were delivered in that moment were two things: 6 points and one of your players who basically flipped you off and left is stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And it was a boring game. It's very hard to watch. And I really think if there is one thing that Kyle Shanahan needs to review, so many people want everybody in these situations to review themselves, right? And I think that's fair. If Kyle wants to review himself, he's got to look at that. He has got to look at the effectiveness of his team in the second half, when it calls for points. You can't just get your 10-point lead in the first half every time and then pound people into submission and win the game. It's been very effective. You've been very good. I'll be the first one, obviously, always have been, to point that out. I don't want Kyle fired. I don't want we don't need to go there. But I think there's a fair conversation to happen about whether or not in 2024, with all rules set for quarterbacks and passing game, if you can be effective when you're down by three in the fourth quarter, it usually feels like you're down by 10.
I can honestly say they're not built for this.
Yeah, and what it feels like.
It's the way it is. And look at the two different offenses, and look at what Kyle does throughout the entirety of the game, and all you have to do is look at their formations, and it's bunch formations, it's everyone tied to the line of scrimmage, and they try to do everything off of that. And then you look at the Rams on their 17-play drive where they took the lead, and they slowly but surely went down the field. Everything is spread out wide. They're either going empty, or they're going 11 personnel with the tight end and the one running back and the three wide receivers. A lot of times they went to four wide receivers, and they spread the defense out, and they let the quarterback go out there and make plays and make choices and kind of pick the defense apart. And that's not what Shanahan does schematically as an offense.
What's the emotion you're feeling?
Like, is frustration an emotion?
Sure, absolutely.
That is the biggest emotion, is frustration.
Okay.
And it's not just about one thing. I'm frustrated by Shanahan and his play calling. And you go back to the first half where it's 3rd and 6 and you are across the 50 and you go to 21 personnel with Deebo Samuel as your running back, 3rd and 6, and you give him the ball. You run the ball on 3rd and 6, and he goes nowhere, and now you're going to go ahead and kick a long field goal. Moody made it, great, but that is not a very aggressive play. The fact that he continues to try to run Deebo Samuel as a running back is a failed scenario. It continues to fail. When was the last time Deebo as a running back broke off a big run? I'd have to go back through all my notes
last year.
But it doesn't work. And so he continues to try to do the same thing over and over and over again.
Did you feel like, because I heard this from a lot of people, did you feel like they were force-feeding Deebo Samuel, especially early in the game?
I don't feel that way. And our show thread had that as an idea, and Grandy and Lucas both thought that. And I watched the game again this morning, and the first play from scrimmage was a play action. They went to Deebo. It was incomplete.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, on that 3rd and 6, they brought Deebo in as a running back, and they handed it to him, and he got 2 yards, and it didn't work. I don't think that they, quote, force-fed him, but my issue and the frustration was more with Brock Purdy, where there were a lot of plays that weren't designed for certain players, but he went there anyway. He was forcing balls unnecessarily when the check down was available.
Well, I think when a quarterback starts forcing things, we could psychoanalyze, but I would argue, I've always likened it to the way that I play Madden. When you're force feeding
it is
in some way baked in fear. Like, in other words, if you're not trusting, and he did not have a clean pocket last night. If you're not trusting that you're going to have time to go through your progressions, then I think you're vulnerable to sort of make a decision early about where you're going to go with the ball. And that's when you force something. And I saw that especially with his deep throws last night. The one to Jennings is just, woo, that's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling lack of awareness to throw that football. He was never open.
Right.
He was never open for a moment, and you were in field goal range while down by 3. That's the drive that Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy rarely pull off, and the truth of the matter is they were pulling it off. They were in the process. They had converted a few third downs. Ricky Pearsall was allowed to touch the ball. It was crazy.
Once.
They were moving the ball, and that throw is exactly, I would argue, what Brock Purdy has made his reputation for not doing.
Exactly.
And it ended their season. That's just wild to me. So I think that, like, let's play with this for a little while. Niner fans, what are you feeling? I was so struck by the vibe in the stands last night. I was very, very struck by it. And that's the best. It's not a great word. It's the only one I can come up with. I'm just so bummed. I'm so bummed that this is the season we got. 888-957-9570 is the number. What are you feeling after that? We're sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track. On January 1st, Tolls on the Antioch Bridge will go up $1. Don't wait for the invoice. Pay tolls automatically with Fast Track. It's the most convenient way to pay tolls. Get started with BayAreaFastTrack.org. We're going to take all your calls, okay? So line up right now, and we will go to you. And you can just, man, go wherever you want, say whatever you want. How are you feeling after that effort with the season on the brink? It's Willard and Dibs.
Along that defensive front, second and 11. 5.5 left in the fourth. Taylor is the running back. Purdy going for it all, and it's going to be picked off in the end zone. Darius Williams on an overthrow, and the Rams get the takeaway.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, look, I would be disingenuous if I wasn't going to admit that part of, I think, what happens at a time like this for 49er fans is it makes you question yourself. It makes you question your own opinions. It makes you question the things that you felt before. There is a Brock Purdy conversation to have.
Yeah.
And we'll have it. I'm ready for that. But that's what's hard is you're like, wait a minute. Like, was I a crazy person for the last 2 years? With what we saw, so we'll get to all of it. Here's, by the way, what Kyle Shanahan said with regard to Brock Purdy specifically and the offense. This was last night.
We saw the other quarterback on the other side go through the exact same things in the first half. So I thought Brock made some really good throws in the first half, too. So, you know, from a throwing standpoint, I thought, you know, in those circumstances, I thought we were throwing the ball better in the first half than we were running the ball. I know we got that explosive to Kittle. I think we had a third down to Juwan, I believe, and a couple drops in there, too. So, you know, I think it was a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, I don't disagree with him. I mean, that's why I said earlier, if it's not the Niners this year, if it's not one thing, it's another. When Purdy makes good throws, and he did make some good throws, they got dropped. They got dropped. He threw a touchdown pass to Deebo Samuel. He didn't catch it. That was a third down, and it was a tough catch for Juwan, the diving one in the first half. But it's a ball that he has caught and should catch. And then the second half, he just dropped. I mean, my God, this is just a little out route. I mean, you know, he was standing 10 yards from each other and just went right through his hands. We haven't seen Juwan do that this year.
Yep, 5 of 12 for Brock, 46 yards in the second half. And I'm just looking at the notes that I made this morning, and even one of his completions, he got one to Garendo on 1st and 10 that was behind him. Garendo had to dive, actually, just to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2 yards where it probably should have been
bad throw.
8 or 10.
Bad throw,
terrible
no
throw. And then you look at an incomplete to Deebo on 2nd and 20 where he forced it down the field and Garendo was open on the check down. The interception that he threw, he had two guys open on the check down. And the last throw that he made in the game where you're just trying to get a pitch and catch to Pearsall to get something to make that last Hail Mary-ish play plausible, he threw it 5 yards in front of Ricky Pearsall. And
yeah.
Pearsall is open, breaking toward the sideline. It's an easy throw. Let him catch it. Let him run out of bounds. And now you've got, you know, a first down at the 30 or the 35 or whatever it is, and you've got one last chance to, you know, maybe not throw a Hail Mary, but actually run a play
maybe
where the defense will have to honor you. So, yeah, there were drops, and the Deebo drop is one that will forever live in infamy as, you know, the play that might actually be the one that fans will think about when they want Deebo gone. And I wonder what fans really want with Deebo. And this is where I talk about Super Bowl or bust, because you look at the Deebo Samuel situation just in isolation, and fans have turned on Deebo like I never thought they would. And you were there last night,
yeah.
And I was in the hermetically sealed press box sitting next to Lucas, and he's eating his pasta, and I'm eating my Cubano, and I'm like, do they boo him? And he wipes his mouth, and he's like, I'm not sure. I took a bite of salad, and I'm not sure either. And he got
first off, both of you should probably finish your bite before you have a conversation.
There was no finishing any bite.
Yes. I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
Because every time there was an incomplete pass, we had to go get more food. It was a rule.
That's a bad rule.
It was a great rule.
That's like playing the, did you ever play the Roxanne drinking game?
No doubt.
You played that?
Oh, yeah.
Did everybody know?
This? Roxanne.
Yeah, and the game is that, like, every time Sting says Roxanne, you have to take a shot of beer.
Oh, boy.
And all he does is say Roxanne 48 million times in that song.
I love the young people.
So let's go to Dibs, half of the bag.
shot of beer every time he says Roxanne. And then I think it was, like, every time the chorus hits or something, then there's an actual shot.
Every time you got to turn on the red light.
Great.
Something.
Let's drink.
Something. Yeah. All I know is by the end of the song, you gone. But anyway, I digress.
Yes.
Like, I was in the stands, and I don't know that I would call it an out-and-out boo. It wasn't like Philadelphia and Santa Claus was on the field.
Right.
But it was a very hefty, negative moan. It was a moan that says, it's not just you dropped a pass. If a beloved player, if Justin Jefferson goes over the middle and drops a big ball, the crowd is more like, oh,
right.
Like, oh, man, we had a chance there.
It's more of an exasperation.
This was like a, dude, you tweeted 2 days ago.
Yep.
And now you can't hold on to the ball. Like, it was an angry moan. And
part I can't of me, make a play if I don't have the ball.
Well, part of me was really proud of the Niner fan base. Because, like, when I hear that, when I hear 50, 60,000 people collectively have that reaction, I go, oh, you're tapped in. You all know the context here. You don't just understand that Debo dropped the ball and he's got a Niner jersey on. You're not a casual. You're tapped in. You understand the context of this moment, which was way bigger than the actual moment itself. And so Niner, I, like, that made me feel good, you know, as a Niner fan and somebody who does Niner content and all these things. I was like, oh, okay, Niner fans, but it was heavy. It was a heavy moment, and I know a lot of people who think if he catches that ball, they probably win the game.
You would figure. I mean,
they probably win the
game. You catch that, you go up 10-3, and whoa, a touchdown! Look at them.
Yeah, if you use the end zone last night, you probably win the game.
It seems like it.
You know,
and you know that was not the game-ending miscue, but that's one where you definitely bookmarked it and thought, okay, they got the field goal, they're up 6-3.
Well, it just changes the whole game.
Well, it's a four-point swing is
right.
What it is.
No, and it makes the Rams probably call plays differently. Like, there's still
it's
plenty
still
of,
early.
It's still early, but it was clear that if somebody got the non-field goal lead, it was like, oh, we're going to need to get a little more aggressive on offense.
Well,
now,
let's just say this. If they score that touchdown and it's 10-3, the Rams do go on a 17-play drive, and they get down to, it's 3rd-and-4 at the 5-yard line, and it's a hold, and Bosa actually got something done, and we can get to Bosa later if you want, and how ineffective he was in the game. But, you know, the Rams wound up with a 4th-and-goal, and maybe they go about things a little bit differently if they weren't going to settle for 3.
Yeah, they might have gone for it. You're right. Okay, let's get to everybody. And again, the question is just, you know, I was struck by the vibe and the sound and the feel, what fans are feeling like in the stands. Dibs used the word frustrated. I used the word bummed. I just, and I could translate that to just disappointed. I didn't know if the Niners were going to win the Super Bowl this year, but man, I'd have bet a lot of money that it wasn't going to be 6-8. Like, holy crap. You got to be kidding me. Jack in the city. Hi, Jack. Thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up? Jack, you there?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, Jack. We can now.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. Love the show. First off, yeah, I'm super frustrated with the season. This team was just soft, but I am optimistic for next year. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on what we need to do to get back to winning football. I mean, personally for me, I think it starts in the trenches. Our lines were not good this season, and is really why I think Brock wasn't as good, why McCaffrey and Debo weren't as effective in the backfield. I mean, we need to get back to bullying people at the line of scrimmage and running the ball. I did not feel that once this year. McKivitz, for starters, has to go. He's awful. We cannot waste any more high picks on these skilled players. Football is won at the line of scrimmage. And I keep thinking back to that Green Bay Packer playoff game at Levi's when Jimmy G was the QB and we ran the ball down their throat. Where is that team? That team is gone. We don't have that anymore. Wow. And that's how we're going to win football games with Brock.
Jack, I love your point, and here's how I'll say it. Thank you, Jack. I don't know what you think, Dibs. When I look around the NFL right now, there's a few teams that stand out for certain things that they do. And the 49ers have, traditionally, you know this, John Lynch has said it. The heartbeat of the team is the defensive line. I don't mind that. That's true. That can be where you start things on defense. But I would adjust, just tweak the thought of the heartbeat of the team. And instead of making it the defensive line, it needs to be the offensive line. Because in today's NFL, it's too much pressure to ask your defense, in my opinion, to lead the way. I don't really buy the idea that defense wins championships. If you mean you need a good defense, I'll buy it. But I think what's going to win the championship this year is the offensive line. Detroit has lost their entire defensive line. Guess what? They don't lose any games. Why? Penei Sewell. They have an unbelievable offensive line. Look what the Philadelphia Eagles do. If it's third and fourth and one, just move the chains now.
A third first and three, down. Even, same thing.
First down. Yeah. Because, and the Chiefs, too, who people accuse of cheating because the right tackle, false starts on every play, whatever. If the offensive line plays well, you score points. And this is not an excuse for Brock Purdy, but let's admit that he's running for his life this year in ways that he hasn't the last 2 years. I think it's a big factor in the way he's playing.
Well, and it's affected the way he's playing.
Totally.
And that to me is a bigger issue about Brock Purdy and also the coaching and the coaching points therein, because he has been under a lot more duress this year, and yet last night's a great example where even though he's under duress, he's still trying to make throws that he probably shouldn't, as opposed to taking what is there. And, you know, if you look at the film from last night, the Rams didn't blitz a ton. They didn't have to.
Correct.
They got home with four many, many times. And so if you get home with four and you cover with seven, a lot of the deep throws won't be there. And yet Brock continued to try to force the ball down the field as opposed to taking what the defense was giving him. And that's an issue. And if you look at what they've done in the draft, over the last four drafts, in the top 100 picks that they've had, they've taken one offensive lineman and zero defensive lineman. So you can talk about building in the draft, and they do need to do that, but they haven't done that. They've chosen to go other directions.
Yeah, and maybe that's because they don't want to put rookies there. I don't know. They've had a very, very veteran group. On one end, it's based on Trent Williams. You look at how they attacked the defensive line when they needed somebody new opposite Bosa. They went free agency, not draft. That can work. But I'd argue this offseason, they had a hell of a lot better of a draft than they did a free agency period.
Yes, but they didn't address the defensive line. And they got Dominic Pooney.
Yeah.
But in the draft is, you know, what I was talking about.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, you got Okawanu, who actually turned out to have a pretty good year, and Evan Anderson was an undrafted street free agent that you got. So you piecemealed it fairly well, but you don't have the real game wrecker, and that's where Javon Hargrave, and you could say he's a bust, but you paid him to come in and be that dude, and he got hurt in camp, and I don't think he played a snap this year, so he wasn't able to come in and be that guy.
No. Yeah,
Javon Hargrave.
No, he played 3, 4, 5 games. This happened in the game. It was at least the Rams game when his injuries started. So Hargrave, how many games did he play this year, Grandy? Hargrave,
Javon Hargrave played in 3 games this year.
Games,
so he got hurt week three in LA.
Yeah, that's when that happened. So, but he wasn't good last year. He wasn't horrible, but he was disappointing based on the number they gave him, in my opinion. Let's go to Jacob in San Jose. Hey, Jacob, thank you for calling.
Hey, man, how are you? I'm glad I'm getting in. It's my first time on a call. Sorry if I sound a bit nervous.
No,
but I still love.
Jacob, relax. We don't bite. Everything's cool. Take your time, brother.
All right. I want to talk about Debo and Devondre Campbell. Is that his name, right?
Yep.
Campbell?
Yep.
You got it.
Yep.
All right. First, Debo. I think, I don't know what's going on with him this year. Something's wrong. Last year, he was doing better. This year, I keep saying, I don't know what it is, but you cannot make a tweet saying you're not getting the ball enough. And then when you get a clear pass up the middle and just drop it, and there's only end zone in front of you, you just can't do that. And going to Campbell, you can't just leave when your team needs you. You got Greenlaw, he's on the sideline. We got no linebackers out there. You can't just walk out on your team. Like, you just can't do that. I mean, have you seen anyone else do that besides who? Antonio Brown? No.
Jacob, you're spot on.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson this year with Pittsburgh did that,
thanks, Jacob.
And they suspended him for a week. A
little bit different. All of these situations all have some differences in them.
Of course.
Right? Deontay Johnson, who had just been acquired by the team, and I think there had been some stuff going on in practice, and it was brewing and whatnot. What really strikes me about the Devondre Campbell thing last night is that seemingly nobody had any indication that that was coming. And this is an important point. Everybody can talk about the machismo side of it, which is right. Let his team down. You don't do that. You can't walk off a field. Everybody's totally correct in that. But here's the extension of it. If you do feel some type of way, if you're in your feelings and you flat out are refusing to play and you know you're going to do that, my man, tell Kyle that 2 days before the game.
Right.
And then it's still a problem, but it's not that kind of problem.
You can deal with it for sure.
Well, you can get a practice squad player elevated and at least have the correct number of linebackers.
The body, yeah.
This was yanking the rug out from underneath all of his teammates, who, by the way, did nothing wrong. Like, he's forcing teammates to play injured. That's why they were so offended.
Exactly. And if you think about it, and you look at the situation, Devondre Campbell on the year has played the fourth most snaps on defense on the entire team. So it's one thing if it's a guy who, and we'll use Moses Moody as a cross-pollination situation, sensation.
Thank you.
And, you know, a guy who, you know, if Moses Moody were to pull it, it's like, okay, fine, I get it. You're not playing and you're kind of being jacked around, whatever the situation. I don't excuse it, but at least you could look at it and say, here's a guy who's not playing. Devondre Campbell's played in 83% of the snaps. Wow. And here's another example.
Yeah.
Jair Brown, a guy who last week lost his starting spot. He's played in 95% of snaps. What happened yesterday? He came out and played a great game. The secondary was great. Jair Brown made one mistake in coverage, but other than that, he was really, really good, and he got benched the week before,
yeah.
And now you're back because Mustafa's out, and did he sulk and say, no, I don't want to play? Of course not.
And that's not even nearly, like you're right, but it's also a completely different kind of benching. Like, I'd love to call Devondre today and be like, dog, what did you think was going to happen when Dre Greenlaw got back?
Well, they told him when he came in exactly why you were here.
You think that this is your core now? Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are gods in this city. Okay? These two dudes don't need wallets and don't need names on the back of their jerseys for the rest of their lives. These two dudes are in ink. These are Niner legends, even if they never get a ring. You thought you were going to displace one of them? You're a nut job. You are nuts. You are absolutely delusional. If you thought this was going to go any other way when you signed here, you should not have signed here if that's how you felt.
Yeah.
Period. You shouldn't have signed here.
Well,
and they shouldn't have signed you.
And that is where, you know, you can assign a little bit of blame to the front office for not properly vetting the player. And you heard some rumblings earlier in the year about, you know,
he's had issues
about Campbell,
yes.
And, you know, a little bit of rumbling about being replaced in certain situations and in certain packages. And then now you get in the spot where Dre Greenlaw finally is able to get healthy. And the other part of it is, Dre Greenlaw went out there and balled. It's not like Greenlaw out there limping around and you're Devondre Campbell thinking, I could do better than what he's doing. There was no better player on either side of the football last night than Dre Greenlaw through the first half, and yet you're all up in your feelings because you lost your spot. The guy you lost your spot to had 9 tackles. And it's funny, just a quick vignette about the press box.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting a couple seats away from Hutch, Jake Hutchinson, our Niners insider, and I was like, man, you know, I said to Lucas next to me, I said, Dre Greenlaw's got 6 tackles. He's playing great.
Mm-hmm.
And Hutch leans over and goes, yeah, I tweeted that 4 minutes ago. He's got 9 now. And I was like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, since I tweeted that, he has 3 more tackles.
He was a complete inspiration. He was the best thing that happened last night. You want me to say it?
You might as well.
He was an inspiration sensation.
What else are you going to do?
I don't know. Save my money for holiday gifts? Anyway, point is,
he's amazing.
He was the best thing that happened to that game last night, and maybe the only good thing you take out of last night. Go ahead and get comfortable signing that guy to the extension, even off of injury. I'm in. I am in on Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner staying together into the future. That's all I needed to see.
How about this stat from the first half for Dre Greenlaw? First Niners player with nine or more tackles in a first half of a regular season game since Fred Warner, Week 17, 2021. Dude, and he did that off an Achilles.
Off an Achilles in 11 months. 10 months? Wow, dude. Dre Greenlaw, I don't know which linebacker I love more. These two dudes have been the best tandem in this league for a long time, and they gave you a glimpse right now that there's hope that they will be again.
And he plays basically two in a change of quarters, and he's over there with a knee issue and a Theragun on his calf, and it's like he wants to go back in there. He's got one injury he's getting over, and yet he's got two new injuries, and DeVondre Campbell can't find the courage to go out there and play.
Courage ain't the right word. He can't work through his own ego enough to find his way onto that field. And I hope y'all understand, that's why that was so offensive to the team last night. When you're part of a team, Dre Greenlaw is out there off an Achilles, nine tackles in the first half, and you, Devondre, this doofus, decided that he would risk that. He would risk the health of Dre and D. Winters and anyone else. Fred Warner, who's playing on a broken ankle.
Well, that's the thing, is D. Winters was already out in the first quarter with a neck.
And so you put all that at risk because of your own ego. Dude, get off this team. Get off the team. Don't ever come back. If I'm the Niners, I told Devondre last night, you are not, give me your key card. You are not well, this, you're not just cut. You are not welcome in this facility. Get away from these players. You're offensive. You're not just bad. You're offensive to these teammates.
Well, there are ways to go about it, and I'm not saying that they won't do that, but if you do cut him, he becomes available to every single other team to pick up. I don't know what team would want to pick him up,
but
other things you can do before you cut him, such as suspend him for a game for conduct detrimental to the team, and you can do that on Monday. You can do that at the end of this week, and then he has to sit another week. And, yeah, you don't have to come back to the facility, but there are other ways to go about it other than just a snap judgment
him. I hear you from the standpoint of I would like to know what is, like, financially damaging to the Niners, and I don't want them to do any of that. But I could give a rip, respectfully. Agreed. If he plays for another team, I think that team is nuts. I think his career is over, but if I'm the Niners brass, I want that man out of the building
for sure,
and never, ever, ever to be seen again. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Let's keep rolling, okay? So Tom and Jonathan and Wesley and Connor, Cowboy Sal, stay right where you are. We are coming to you. How you feeling? How did this season make you feel? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.